In Parshas Vayeshev, they tell over that when the Netziv and the Beis Halevi had the Machloikis, who should be the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin? They were both Rosh Hashivas of Volozhin, and they were the closest Yedidim. But it always is very difficult and untenable to run a Moisad without having one supreme authority. And though it came to a machloikis. No, so how do you decide? So they called the three most prominent Rabbonim in Lita at that time to come down to the yeshiva. And when the three Rabbonim came, the youngest of the three was Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who later became the Kovnei Rav, who was the top Rav in the whole Lita. But at that time, he was the youngest. There were two older ones. And there are people whose names I wouldn't be known to you, though. And so they came down to the Volozhin to investigate and to decide and to ask and answer. And they said, all three said shiurim naturally, as big rabbonim come. They said roshes and shiurim. Then they went on with the work of investigating the inyan. So the eldest of the Rabbonim got up by the podium, there were 500 Talmidim, ready, eager to listen to every word. And he got up and he said, no, time is Parshas Vayeshev. So the Olam, there was a gasp in the Olam. It wasn't Parshas Vayeshev, it wasn't any time close to Parshas Vayeshev. So they didn't know what to make of it. So he said over again after the gasp, he said, Hindus Parshas Vayeshev. He said, I'll tell you what I mean. He said, every time a Rav gets up to Darshan, so in the Seder, there's always a struggle, to the struggle between the good people and the bad people. You start off with Bereshis, so you have Kayan and Hevel. No, Kayan is the aggressor and Hevel is the victim. So you know who's good and who's bad. Comes Noach. Noach is the tzaddik, the world is Rishoyim. It comes Lech Lecha. So you have Avraham Avinu and you have a bunch of bad people over there, the Arba Melocha, Mechvesvas, a whole long list. It comes Vayera. So it's Vayta. Avraham with the different Rishoyim. No, Chayasora, you have Avraham and Ephraim, and then Toldos, there's Yaakov and Esav, and Vayetze is Lovon, Yaakov Avinu and Lovon, Vayishlach, Vayta Yaakov and Esav, so we know who's good and who's bad. So it comes Vayeshev, so you have a fight between two good people, you have the Shivtaker. And who could you say is good and who could you say is bad? Who could you say is right and who could you say is wrong? So he said, that's why today by me is Parshas Vayeshev, to be able to say who's right and who's wrong. But it came out that this year Parshas Vayeshev is Shabbos Chanukah, although Miketz shares the honors at the end. It's also in a very rare time, we had a couple of years ago, Shabbos Chanukah is only Vayeshev, and Miketz is after Chanukah, that's kind of tough. But I want to discuss an Indian rabbi say. Somebody came to me recently, he's been Ergrin Zach for years, and he can't take it anymore, he's falling apart. Something is bothering him. He says he knows that Rabbeinu Shalom created the world. It's filled with trouble. There's always bad things going on. just when you think things will be good, all of a sudden they turn out to be bad. The other day they caught a shagetz in a hole in the ground. Nope. Till they caught him, he killed how many millions of people, literally. Nobody. Ad kichod al lispur kei mispur. The mass graves that are being dug up with tens of thousands of bodies. The gathering of entire cities. The major wars. The destruction that was caused by one yochid. Nope. Said the Rebbeinu Shlom, they created a world and there was a marble and the world didn't succeed. Right? Nope. So Noach, one person, chilled Masachin Beini Hashem. And today we're in Golis for close to 2,000 years. And weiter, doesn't there's hardly anything, any simonim that things be getting better? And as Yisrael, there's a tremendous war against Torah. And despite the fact that there's such a miraculous rise of Torah after the Churban of the Second World War. But you see so many Yidden, you see a million Yidden coming from Russia and half of them are Goyim, or more than half. You see the assimilation in America, 90% are getting lost. And whoever you Yidreizach in the Jewish Gateway itself, within the ultra-Orthodox, you find things that you never saw before. And so there doesn't seem to be any toiv in the world, but it all is called Yetzer Machshavah is Libo Irak Ra'ah Kol Hayom, seems to be the theme. There's always trouble. In fact, that's how the Seder starts. Bikesh Yaakov Leishi B'Shalva, Kovetz Olav Yugzer Shal Yosef. Ledayin L'Tzadikim, Mashem Muchan Lam L'Olam Habo, El Shem Vakshem Leishi B'Shalva B'Olam Hazeh. So it comes out that the Olam Hazeh is an oilum of trouble. There's supposed to be bad things going on all the time. And it's the tzaddik is supposed to be struggling against powers that seem to overcome him and overpower him all the time. To the point that Yaakov Avinu was for 22 years as Vayasavil, he was the whole day, Vayamoyin Lesnachim. So imagine that, Vayamoyin Lesnachim. The world was destroyed, was black. Yosef, Torah of Yosef. So what could we do in a world which is Vayamoyin Lesnachim? There's a whole philosophical discussion the Rambam has with Chochem and Mor Nevuchim, who also came to him and said he made a cheshbon that the world has more bad than good. So what's the tachlis of having a world? For a goy, this is no problem at all. Why? Because the world exists, b'metzias. So you do what you can to extract whatever anoy you could get while you're on the world. But we don't look at the world like it exists, right? Kol Masha Bora Kodesh Baruch Hu Voilomoy Lechvoidei Bora Shenemar Koil HaNikri B'Shmi Lechvoidei B'Yosef Yitzarte V'Afasisif. So it's all there Lechvoidei. In other words, it's a Tachlis is to create Kvod Shemayim. How much Kvod Shemayim is there when every moment is all kinds of movements in defiance of Kvod Shemayim, right? Take a look at they caught the, like I said before, the shagetz in the hole in the ground, and right away there's millions of people demonstrating all over, taking up for his honor. He wasn't, and the mass murderer is still in their eyes the symbol of their glory. No. Lemaisa, Rav Yisai, had to explain things to a person who was so deeply and solely troubled by all this. And it took a little going back to the beginning, to the Yesodus. You can't really understand things well unless you go back to the beginning and have the whole concept developed in a way which is clear. And then it's possible to see and examine the purpose of life and the purpose of all the events in life. And perhaps we'll find that indeed it's redeeming and good despite all the evil and despite all the shortcomings that we find. I'll first express myself very briefly by in a very balabatish marshal, and then I'll tell you a little what I told the person who was a bardas, and who when I finished speaking with him, I'm only halfway through, but he said to me, if we would have been taught these things when we went to the yeshiva, then there would be a lot of people in the world who would be much more happy and much more satisfied and not so upset about what's going on. Why aren't we taught these things? You know, I just want to make a caveat, a warning. And any time, Rabbi say, there's anyone who comes up with a complaint against the lack of something in the yeshivas failed to do their job, the yeshivas are at fault for this and at fault for that. So I'll remind you, I said in the past a little incident that happened with me that deserves repeating. I once spoke, there was a Hakel assembly in Tagudov Avenue L, and the theme was Hilchas Pesach. That's a regular theme every year, Hilchas Pesach. So, I mentioned that, you know, you got to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Achilas Matzah, and there's a Shir, and it has to be a Kezayis, and it has to be Tachid Achilas Pras. And so, you know, L'chatchil, you try to do it in one swallow, and if not, the shear for the Echilas Pras. And I said, there's a shear for the wine, and all that. There's pictures and signs all over explaining the shear. I said, a lot of people sitting over here find Elohi Yidden, Choshev about it. And their children are going to come home from the yeshiva, and they'll come and tell them that, according to what my Rebbe said, the shear that is bigger. I want more matzah. My kos is not regulation size. I need a bigger kos. And it has to be bigger. And you'll feel very offended. You'll say, what, for my father and grandfather and great-grandfather, this picture on the wall, a distinguished-looking youth, and for him this kos was good enough, and this amount of matzah was good enough, and what's the matter? How come you want to be machmir? And I said, the reaction should not be one of trying to show disappointment, but the other end. The reaction should be one of tremendous happiness and satisfaction. What greater simcha is there when a person's children rather want to be better and better and more strict and more devoted to Allah. And so that's all part of it. So to have a bigger shear, and it's if your child is doing better than you, so there's no greater simcha than that. My Zayde Olav HaSholem used to say, all my children learned so much more Torah than I did. And he was a tremendous masmen, he learned as a businessman in the morning and by night. He said, all my children, Baruch Hashem, they learn much more Torah than I did. He said, but I have Nekama in them because their children are learning more than them. Mm-hmm. A person should be happy and should be frelich if a child comes home from I mentioned that Agavurchidik in the middle of a whole shiur about this halacha, that halacha. You know, Hilchus Pesach is always a popular subject that time of the year. So, at the end of the drasha, a fellow comes over to me, and he was hot under the collar, and he started raving and ranting, and he was saying, "It's a terrible thing. The yeshivas teach the children to rebel against their parents. And where is the kibud of aim? That's in the Seiros HaDibris. It's more important than the mitzvah of matzah. And they have to not tell your father. When you have to be makabel hadracha from him and not, try to do better in what kind of business. And the yeshivas don't teach the children the most important mitzvahs. And the yeshivas this and the yeshivas that." And he was going to... And the whole island, there was a huge crowd that gathered around. And the people started nudging him and saying, come on, lay off already. And the more anybody pushed him, he kept on going stronger. So I waited till he was out of breath, And there was a pause. And I told him, "Listen," I said, "Abid, I want to tell you one thing. You could go on. I'm not going to stop you now, but you just go on. But I want to tell you just one little thing. There's a lot of tainas that people have on the yeshivas, and some of them are correct. We don't learn enough Blet or Gemara, and we don't do this, we don't do that. Some of them are correct. You got to improve. See, living organism. You got to say that. Work, change things, upgrade things, improve things. That's the way it is." He said the other thing first. I said, "You could go on and say all the criticism you want. Say all your complaints. I'm not going to stop you. But I just have one little favor to ask from you." He said, "What?" I said, "Whenever you say the yeshivas, just say instead the Halagi yeshivas." That's it. You say the Halagi yeshivas. Well, naturally, after that, you have nothing more to say. So, then I told him that I want to tell you just two things about the yeshivas that I want to tell you. With all the kindness and the room for improvement, there are two things. Number one, despite all its shortcomings, the system works. It works, it produces constantly talmidim and that kihem chayenu. The system works. I said, number two, it's the only system that works. So before you zero in for the attack, just be careful. And that took care of that. So the fellow who had a taina to me the other day, why the yeshivas don't teach this and don't teach that, and it was up to me, I would, Well, be that as it may, Rabbi said, there's always good ideas and good answers. But I feel it's kedai to repeat, to find out why is the taka so much trouble? We tell the story of Hanukkah, right? Look at all these things that happened. For 3 years, the Beis HaMikdash was closed down, finished, and they were filling it with filth and with, who knows, chaserim and whatever the Yevonim did. Right, the Syrian Greeks, like they call them in the literature. I noticed a news article yesterday in one of the Jewish the papers. Now we got a ton of them. There was an article that the ambassador of Syria had a state reception in Greece, and the president of Greece said that we have an ancient and long relationship between Syria and Greece. It was, I think, a very fitting news item for Erev Chanukah. but what happened? And there were so many Yidden were killed. Mamish Chana v'Shiva Boneo. But what was worse is that 3/4 of the Yidden deserted Yiddishkeit. They became Misyavnin. And they became, when the Hisyavnus was destroyed, the bulk of them went underground and became tzedukim in Baisusa. And a couple of years went by. For the next 20 years after they had the Nes Chanukah, so you know what happened. All the sons of Matisyo were killed out one by one. Even the last one, Shimon ben Matisyo, was murdered by his son-in-law. And then, a short period of time, there was some relative peace. And then, sure enough, his Tainakul, Yana HaMelech, became the Tzduki. Had killed out all the Chachomim. And soon things began to go just downhill, downhill, and downhill. And finally there was a civil war, Milchamas Achet, Burkinis and Aristobel, and then bingo, Hurdis with his murderous rule took over. And then the Romans crept in, and then there was a Churban, and then there was Golas. We can't be, before you turned, there was always Tzoras, Gehakta Tzoras, terrible Tzoras, but Tzoras among the Yidden. Yidden who desert Yiddishkeit, just like that, all of a sudden, they desert Yiddishkeit. At the same time, we got to remember there were Moridika events that took place, a Moridika accomplishment, and look at the time, the Tkuf of Tanoim and the Tkuf of Amiroim. It followed for the next 500-600 years. So, no. You don't have to list that, but there's always trouble, always things going wrong. So I'll just begin with a very short Balabat Shemoshal. It says in Pirkei Avos, right, the last thing in the sixth Perek, you know, the Baisa, it says, I mentioned before, that Kol Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu, Boro Boilomai, Lechvoide Boro, right? Shenemar, Kailo Nikri Rishmi, Lechvoide Virasa. They mentioned it earlier. So I'll tell you what it means. What does it mean? The Bernshalom made an oilum that was lechvoider. Bernshalom needed covet, and he created the oilum for his covet. Abadana, the Bernshalom doesn't need covet, and he didn't create the oilum, so to give him covet, that's not at all what it means. The Maimon that needs a little bit of, you know, tifa analysis, but absolutely had no relation to such a kind of poshup chat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to give him cover. The Baruch Shalom doesn't need any cover. What it means is something entirely different. The Baruch Shalom created the world to be meitiv libruv, to give us an opportunity to achieve through the use of the world. And that we'll discuss later. That's the beginning of the real Teres. But the method and the activities of this world, which are considered successful and which are considered fitting and worthwhile achieving, right? Things which are goals which we should look and try to accomplish, and to measure them always have to bring Kavod Shamayim. So the end product of any worthwhile activity in this world is Kavod Shamayim. So and once you create Kavod Shamayim, you will have achieved the purpose of your existence in this world, and you'll have accomplished for yourself what the world is designed to accomplish, that is to give for you an opportunity to come to Shleimus and to come to personal achievement. But you have to create Kvod Shamayim. And the reason for that is very simple, Rabbi said. Because if the world is a success, it's Kvod Shamayim by definition. Yeah. And if the world is a failure, then it's a Bizoyim. It's a Chil Shem Shamayim. And if you succeed by using the world, then it's Kvod Shamayim. And if you fail because you abuse the world, then Bryas HaOlam was used as a tool for destruction rather than as a tool for accomplishment. So then you misused, you took HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, and it's just like You know, a child is given a set of tools, and he's very happy. He's always looked a little tiny saw and a little tiny hammer, and some small tools, and he'll be able to take a few pieces of break apart a tiny cheese box that today we don't have any cheese boxes anymore, and bang it together and make a little chair, you know, whatever. So instead, the child takes the hammer and breaks the windows in the house, and he takes the saw and rips open the clothing and whatever he could, and leaves $10,000 worth of damage in the wake of this little. So what did he do? He took something that was designed to give him fun, satisfaction, enjoyment, pleasure, and instead, and to teach him perhaps how to create, how to construct, teach him a skill, and instead of using it for that, he used it to destroy. Right? It's similar to Rabbi say, I don't have to go far from the Moshul to the Nimshul. The Ribbon Shalom gave us a mouth so that we could talk Divrei Torah, right? Divrei Shevach, and so on. And instead, we'll use the mouth for Lashon Hora and for all kinds of other terrible, Yisurei Dibur. So it's an abuse. It's a tool that's been designed for good things, but it could be used to destroy. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has to provide you with tools. If you have no tools, you can't do anything. Right? Imagine the Rabbi said you have a pair of legs and you could walk with it, and instead you walk to the wrong places. So you took your legs and you used it for destruction. And what if instead of the pair of legs you have a car, and you know what a car could be used for? To get yourself from place to place, good places, or it could be used for the worst things. The more potent the tool is, the more capacity it has for destruction. Imagine giving someone a jet plane, and if he wants to destroy you, you know what he could do. So Anochi Barosi Mashchis L'Chavil. So the world is here to produce through use, through proper use of the world, to come out with things which bring Kvod Shamayim, and those things which bring Kvod Shamayim show that the world was worth its while, and that by etzem is Kvod Shamayim. Yehi Kvod Hashem liolam yismach Hashem amasav. Oh, and once that's done, so then the man who did it will have achieved his purpose. And the purpose in the world is not the Kvod Shamayim. Yeah. The purpose in the world is the human being who used the world for Kvod Shamayim. That's the tachlis in the world. But the measure of his success is how much Kvod Shamayim was able to bring out from the raw material that he has, which is the world, which is the time in the world, and everything. And of course, Rabbi said, you could compare it to a big factory. You know, if you have a big factory and they produce a final product which is very desirable, right? Some kind of device which brings happiness to people and brings profit to its manufacturer and jobs to people who build it. You'll find that next to this factory there's going to be certain pieces of equipment which will probably deal with much, much more volume of product than the actual final product. You know which pieces of equipment? Huh? Those huge containers, right, that carry off the garbage, the waste. There's much more waste than there is final product. No matter how careful you are, because there has to be. There'll be people over there, and they'll use the plumbing system and use the building and whatever it is. There's wrappers and there's clippings of products, and there's all kinds of different things. Final product will be a small amount, and the waste will be a large amount. And the same thing, it goes with the world. Think of the world as this large factory. There's a lot of waste product and a lot of stuff that has to be eliminated. But there is that small amount of the final product which it's designed to create, and for the purpose of giving the people who do create it their the tachlis for which the entire Bria was exists. And all the evil and all the problems and all the difficulties that we see, that is part of the waste product of the world. But it still doesn't stop the world from achieving its purpose, which it constantly achieves. You understand? Imagine that boy said, huh? Could you think, everybody strain very hard, and think of an enormously long time that goes by when everything seems to be bent on total waste and destruction and evil, and not one thing seems to be good. And yet, in totality, that whole scene produces a tremendous amount of toil yoitze, which is letachlus toiv miyoit. Okay, I sound a little puzzling. Now I'll repeat the line from Pirkei Avos: Asora doires minoyach v'yad Avraham lohidia kamo erech hapayim lufonav. Right? Shekol hadoires hoyam machisim uboim ad shebo Avraham v'nofel schar kulam. So you got a long period of time, and another 10 may have been Noach. So all tremendous. Minoach v'yad Avraham. Shekolim they were machisim uboim. But what came out from this entire period of time? Lohidia kamo erech hapayim lefonav. The Hafledik, lohidia. Yeah. So the kamo erech hapayim lefonav is lohidia. So some total of all this time came out a declaration which is worth all that trouble. Kamo erech hapayim lefonav. Yeah. And that's a very strong lesson. Why? Because it wasn't enough with the Asorah Doris may Odom be Adnoyach that we're also Lodiyah Kamer Chapayim Lofonah Shekol HaDoris Hoyim Achisim Uboim HaChehevi Aleihem Me'amah. So we see the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhog in the world, which could only come about through Kol HaDoris that were Achisim Uboim. The Kisser, the waste, the evil, is a chelik of the mechanics of the Bria, without which the Bria couldn't perform its function. Oh! Should I say that over again, huh? Oh! Here's what I said. I don't remember when I was a kid, there was a cartoon. There was some distinguished looking person who would look very angry, and there were a bunch of photographers, and on the bottom the caption was, Senator, could you please explode again? We didn't catch it the first time. Oh, is that it? So, we have to reflect a little on the Tachlis HaOlam, Rabbi said. And maybe, since there are two Shabbos Chanukahs, so I could tie the two together and then bring it out and make the necessary references to the Pesukim of the Seder and to the Mamor and Mam Chanukah and the Gemara, but to bring out the Yesoid. Because, you know, I have to tell you, Rabbi said, we have a great deal of work for the next 8 days. Tremendous work. And that work is not simple. It's very difficult. One, it consists of two parts. One, like we say, Haneiros halolu kodeshem ve'lon reshus l'shtamash b'hem. Right? Elo l'r'oysan bilvad k'dei l'hoidus ul'halol l'shim ha'godol al'nisech v'al'nifleisech v'al'yishu'esech. So we have to look at the Haneiros, stare at them. Yes. So that's work. It doesn't come easy. You look at the neighbors, you think of all kinds of other things. Right? I'm sure that you could think of a whole bunch out. of thoughts, secondary thoughts, but you have to look at them and you have to see something else. You have to read the message, Kedei Lahoidus Olahala L'Shimah HaGodol, Al Nisecha Ve'al Nifloi Secha Ve'al Yeshua Secha. And when you finished staring at the Neiris, and you finished looking, and you absorb the message, if you're not going to be Lahoidus Olahala, then you didn't absorb anything. So it has to come out somehow. You have to read that message and be filled with Halav HaHidol. Right? The Neiris is not just Abivas Elo L'Shiv, right? L'Shiv Rayu, and Yechveis, and this, that, all the technicalities of Neiris are very important. Without the technicalities, nothing works. Then you wouldn't have Neiris. So it has to be the right height and the right place and the right shear and the right oil and the right this and the right that, everything. But if once it's all right, then it could convey the message. But if it's all right and the message isn't conveyed, then it's nothing. It's like a piece of equipment. You get a radio and you want to hear the news and you don't turn it on. So after all the effort and the money that you put into it, and you don't do anything with it, so it might as well not be used altogether. And of course, that's a very poor marshal for the Neiris of Chanukah. The other one, Rabbi Isai, the other job, you're ready for a Chiddush. The other job is to give the message, not to absorb the message. When you come home late by night and everyone in the house is sleeping and you didn't light Chanukah licht yet, right? What's the halacha? The halacha is you have to wake someone up. And what's the only one at home is your wife? Then you have a real problem. Right? The problem is the Chavetz Chaim Chmaisa, that he came to the house of Abnochem Kirodner and he saw that he didn't light Chanukah licht and he was waiting and waiting and it was way past his man. And Abnochem was Mordik Medagdik in the Duke Mitzvahs. So he asked him, how come you're waiting so long? So Abnochem said, because his wife isn't home yet. He wants to wait for his wife to light Chanukah. He saw the youngster, the book turned out later to be the Chofetz Chaim, was very doubtful. He heard this. He said, the Gemara says, Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos is Ner Shabbos Odet. Right? Because Sholem Bayis. So Sholem Bayis, Vaistois is Dorchacham Ner Chanukah. That if you have no money only for Ner Shabbos, say so light Ner Shabbos and you leave out Ner Chanukah altogether. The Chassimin, that Sholem Bayis is Dorchacham Ner Chanukah. And so what do you do? He says, if I light early before my wife, I'm being pagay and shalom bayis. So what do I accomplish with the Ner Chanukah? I have to wait. If a person comes home late by night, and he has to wake up his wife to right, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah, so he wouldn't have shalom bayis. But on the other hand, if he wouldn't light Ner Chanukah licht, then he'll tell his wife the next morning that the reason I did it was because of I didn't light Chanukah licht, was because of shalom bayis. Naturally, she wouldn't be too happy about that either. So, best thing is to come home early instead of coming home that late. But that's the lemaisa. But what's the halacha? The halacha is that you've got to have someone else see the lights, right? And there's no one in the street. There's kol regel ma'ashuk. So someone asks, but you yourself are seeing the lights. What's my neshama is a yoshinkin? No. My Baba used to say that. My neshama is a yoshinkin. That's some old Litvish expression. Right? Is my neshama a raisin? No? Okay. I'm sure a lot of you didn't know what a yoshinkin is. So why shouldn't the person who lights be good enough? The Teres is Rabbi Isai. The purpose of lighting the Chanukah licht is what? Two words. Pirsume Nisa. As I state in Chazal, Pirsume Nisa. The Pirsum means that there's one person who's being mufasim to someone else. There has to be a message delivered, which is the meaning of Pirsum. And there has to be a message received. There can't be something delivered without a receiver. There can't be a Pirsum without someone to whom the Pirsum is being directed. And so therefore, the Chanukah licht would be missing that purpose. So you could be Roya, right? With a special Berach Andriya, right? The one Berach we make every night is Andriya. It's not Ke'ilu the Riyah is only a Nusach and Haneris of Olu. No, nothing of the sort. The Riyah is essential and you make a Berach on it. Right? She also misses what we say. But there has to be a piercing. Okay? So the big job that we have is one, to create a piercing every time we light Chanukah light. To go there and be mafrasim to the world and deliver a message. And the other one is to be roya, to receive the message. Yeah. And unless we do these two things, we're missing the whole Ner Chanukah. Lahadluk Ner Chanukah is the piercing. And Chosen Nisim Lamisenu is the Riyah. Today Lahoyda Salahala. So we make two brachas on these things. I'm not theorizing and saying dush, you know, some nice little chocolate-covered dush. This is the definition of the mitzvah. And without the pirsu, and without the riyah, well, there was nothing. There was just some mechanical activity. Okay. Now, let's go back to... We'll go back to the theme of what I'm talking about. Is what's the beginning, the first step? And I'll follow the Mahalach HaMachshava of Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato in the Derech Hashem for this part. What's the first thing that we have to know is what's the tachlis, right? I promised you I would speak about that today. What's the tachlis of Odom Be'olamoy? Right? What's the reason for existing? What's the reason for Briyas HaOlam? Which is a slightly different question, actually. What's the reason for Briyas HaOlam? It's slightly different than saying, what's the tachlis? What are you supposed to accomplish? But really, the two questions and the answers mesh together because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the purpose of allowing people to achieve toiv, to achieve good. Now, what is toiv? What is toiv? Huh? Now, everybody could define what is toiv in very small, limited terms. For some people, toiv is to have an ice cream, especially a certain flavor, and etc. Naturally, that toiv is very limited and temporary and small, and after a while, the little tinge of pleasure wears off. Imagine eating ice cream all day long. And for others, they dreams of greater things, right? Prestige, power, fame, wealth. Of course, these are also limited. I mean, if I would list every little experience in the world which might bring pleasure to anyone, past, present, or future, it's limited by the person's lifetime in this world. Right? That's what Chazal mean when they said that the person who fell off the tree and died after he performed Shiluach HaKein and Kivud Ov HaEim didn't understand what it says, L'man Yitav Loch V'Harach Tayomim. Why? Because what does L'man Yitav Loch mean? L'yoyim Shekulay Toiv. V'arachta Yomim L'yoyim Shekulay Oruch. Kulay Toiv, it's easy to understand. Kulay Oruch is that's difficult to translate. Kulay, completely long. What does that mean? But what it simply means is, Rabbi said, that all Toiv and all Oruch, endurance and time in this world, is limited and relative. It's better than something else. Okay? It's toiv in relation to this, in relation to that. But it's not absolute. And it has always flaws in the toiv. And there's always a mixture of things which are not toiv. And on the other hand, the same thing with Oruch. If a person would live the life of Mr. Shelach, he'll reach a point where the Arichus Yamim must end. So the world is relatively toiv and relatively orach. But the Torah doesn't say Laman Yitav Loch relatively and Laman Yarichu Yamecha relatively. The Torah says Yitav Yarichu. So it has to be absolute. And absolute could only be in the Olam Haba. That's Pshat Yom Shekuloi. Kuloi means not relative, but absolutely. Toiv Be'etzem. With no limitations, with no relative to something else. And that Toiv is something by HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow upon us. But what is that Toiv? Define it. Since we have only so many experiences in this world which we could say Toiv was, I know what Toiv is. The last time Chveis was, didn't this happen to me? I had this and this feeling. But again, we're just doing over what we did before and figuring out some kind of relative that we don't even know how to define Toiv. Toiv is something that could only be measured in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Toiv. Right? Haluka ki Toiv Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv. And for us to experience Toiv, the only way would be to experience something that could be related to Hashem Yisborach, that could be defined in terms of Hashem Yisborach, which leave us with an enormous difficulty. Because how in the world could we take any human, no matter how great and how perfect, and consider his experiences to be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can't even begin to think about that. But there is one limiting factor which doesn't allow you to even consider it. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv because he is Toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv because it comes from himself. He and himself are one, and Toiv is the one. Hu v'yecholta yechad, hu v'dayta yechad, hu v'rtzayna yechad, hu v'tuva yechad. He's Toiv be'etzem. And whatever Toiv we have, Rabbi say, is something that is on the outside, right? Something that is given to us, or something that we experience. And all these different things that I gave you before are all experiences from the outside. If the person is very wealthy, so he accumulates a lot of moment on the outside, and if he accumulated knowledge in his brain, and he improved his own personal standing. But again, it's something that he accumulated. Right? So how could you have any toiv that could resemble the toiv of HaKadosh Baruch? The answer is, what a person accomplished through his own efforts, that is something that grows out of himself. The person overcame this youngness and he struggled to work on his own self-perfection. He worked on his own Yediyas HaTorah. He worked on all the midas and milas that he's supposed to work on until he took the raw material that's himself. And he, with his own hands and with his own mind and with his own effort, he fashioned out of it the inyan that could be fashioned. He filled its potential. In that case, it came from within himself, and therefore it's toiv that could resemble tuva shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in Mela, it's not a limit, it's not a relative toiv, but it's an absolute toiv, it's kulei toiv. And that, and only that, could be the type of toiv which is the tachlis of Briyas HaOlam. Okay? So we'll begin and leave you just with that single thought alone. Chazal say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give you the toiv and you wouldn't earn it, it would be nahamo dichsufa. It would be that embarrassing to get something from someone else. What Moshe Chaim Lutzada did was to define this Nama Nesufa. Namel Sufis doesn't simply means because you're embarrassed to get something from somebody, it would make you more proud and more self-respectful and all that business. But that's not it alone, because just a feeling of pride and self-respect are things that we overcome. When somebody will give you $1 million, he'll take it, and for 2 minutes you'll feel embarrassed, and right after that he'll run to the bank. But the Nama, the Sufa, means that the Etzer, if it didn't come from you, so it's not Toiv that resembles Tuvia HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not Toiv at all. And it's totally limited, and it's totally relative, and it's diminished, and it's nothing. And in order for us to achieve that, it has to come from within. Therefore, this world was created whereby the ability to achieve and to accomplish is here for every single person. But it requires a struggle. And anything that requires a struggle, and anything that requires personal effort, is bound to result in more failures than success. Because the personal effort is not something that happens in one single action. Even though we could discuss a little bit about Yesh Kan Olam V'Sha'achas, but it's something that happens over a long period of time. Many people begin, many people make some progress, many people make a lot of progress. But as time goes on, only a few achieve the momentum that takes them past the hurdle that makes a lot of people fall off and give up the struggle. And therefore, the world is here to achieve. And it only could be accomplished with the struggle, otherwise it wouldn't be Tuvay Kishol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it would be valueless to be. The Shamas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this Toiv to, it wouldn't be the same, it wouldn't be Toiv at all. It would be an Olam Hazadik experience, it wouldn't be an Olam Haba experience. And it will have no value in Olam Haba. And therefore it has to come about through this process. And the process, by definition, results in many failures. Even in millions of people being killed, and even in millions of people being applauding the murderers, right? And even in thousands of Frumi Yidden, ultra-Orthodox members of the ultra-Orthodox party, like they call it in the Haredis, you know, even people like that, all of a sudden, will begin to do things which just take years and years of effort and years of chinuch, and dump the whole thing immediately down the drain. Sometimes it happens. There's a mass movement that captures the heart and soul of enormous numbers of Haredim, and in one fell sweep, knocks them and strikes them out. And it's the most painful thing to watch. But take a look at what happened during Hanukkah. Take a look. To bring these people back required an effort that's. We have to sing and praise and light candles every year to remember. It should always be like that. That the return should come, but more quickly than by Hanukkah. So when we're mefarsim the nest, we have to be mefarsim that things are going to be recovered from the destruction, from the debris, and that Yishtel is going to salvage Klal Yisrael.